So let's just begin with a few Likutei Basra Likutei remarks on what we discussed last year. So the Mishnah Berurah quoted a comment from Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz in the Yaros Devash that it's hard to know exactly what's considered to be a Beged Chadash, a Beged Yashan for purposes of the Din of Menorah Taliso, and therefore we should be machmir to treat all of our Begadim as Begadim Chadashim. And I thank Matan for finding the correct citation in the Yaros Devash very quickly and efficiently in the middle of Shir. But I had a chance to look at it inside, and one line is really fascinating. He writes, this is Chelik Beis, Drush Aleph. He's talking about different malachas that people are nichshel about. So he writes, when it comes to the din of Menayer Taliso, I don't believe it's so comfortable to stand in the wheelchair.
That's fine.
Oh, you are? Sorry?
You can't
hear?
Yeah. Put on a speaker.
Okay, sorry to say.
Okay. We'll try that. So he writes. Okay, good. Fine.
Okay.
Haminar avak min abeged shachor okovim v'abeged chadash v'rashi av malacha v'mi yishayir adman ma yikari abeged chadash. It's hard to figure out how long is it considered abeged chadash. Ki notin advarim kol zman shemakbid shelo yehelav avak. It makes sense that whenever you're makbid that it shouldn't get dirty, that's still considered abeged chadash. U'bavenuseinu rabim sheminarim bigdei and v'kovim shalem. There are many people that are nichshel about this, and they shake out their clothing and their hats. Who chil gamor? Who b'avin oseinu harabim lov shem dafka b'shabbes beged shachor? And what would you know? People wear black clothing on Shabbos. Who b'avin oseinu harabim ma'isa satan? So according to Yonos and Ivishitz, no one should wear a black suit on Shabbos. That's a ma'isa satan. And pull out your gray suits. That's what he says. Shai dekach yavo maher l'chal Shabbos. So ma'isa satan to wear a black suit of Shabbos.
So told his iron got it right.
Yeah. Okay. Ad kap. We also, yeah.
This is just a general question. The Gemara refers to Minayar Taliso,
right,
shaking out. Is that the same? And you talked about like dandruff, like getting a
right
suit jacket. Is shaking out the same as like brushing off?
Yeah, I think both of them assume it's the same for all intents and purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
yeah
no.
So if you're makbid but your beged is red, it's fine?
So that, we alluded to last time, is probably a machlokas rishonim, and what emerges in the Baralach is that we're machmir on that. That even, bottom line, anything that you're machmir on, we're machmir on.
Well, it's a very strange Gemara then.
It is a strange Gemara. So it could be that you read that as an O as opposed to, an O as opposed to a Vip. That's part of, if you work through the Baralach, that seems to be what emerges, the halacha, that we're machmir essentially on anything that you're makbid on. If it's, yeah, lemaisa, that seems to be what we assume is the bottom line. You have to work through the lashonas of Rishon. Okay, we also noted the Ramah, even though the Ramah is machmir for Shitas Rashi, that the din of Menorah Taliso applies not only to Tal, Mayim, Geshem, it applies to Avak as well. Nevertheless, the Ramah says, "Mutar lahasir nosis min abeged b'Shabbos." You are allowed to remove feathers, and that's based on an or zarua. The lashon of or zarua, simin pei aleph, is as follows. He quotes the Gemara: "Alma afal gav dechi mechavein chayiv chatas afilo hachi kilo kapin midi mutar lechachila." That if there's no kepeda, so you have a case of Menorah Taliso where sometimes it's going to be a malacha deraisa, and sometimes it's going to be heter gomer. If it's lo kapid, it's heter lechachila. V'chein emabeg and meluchlach benotzos, if it's full of feathers, huvadai mutar lasiram lechachila lekuliyam. So that Evan would agree that you're allowed to remove feathers on Shabbos. So in the presentation, it sounds like the v'chein, that this is connected to kepeda. Because he just said, if you're not makbid mutter lechachila, v'chein ha-mebege muluch lechbenotzos, that's also mutter. V'armina nami b'yushalmi periklal gadol, Rav Ze'eri b'shem Rav Huna nistabchu begadu b'kotzin. So his clothing got caught on thorns. Hareza, or Rav Huna says, if your clothing gets caught on thorns, Hareza nifashran b'makom sina. So you can peel it off the thorns or remove it from the thorns of the b'makom sina. U'bavash shelo yikareya. As long as you don't rip the clothing. So it's not talking about thorns that are woven into the baguette. We're talking about thorns that attach to the baguette after the fact. So there's no issue of mina'er per se. It's not subject to any type of kibbutz concern. The only concern is one of kriya. So if you do it in such a way in which you're not going to be kareya, it is mutter. So the citation of that Yerushalmi and the contrast that we're worried about kriya, we're not worried about liban, because it's talking about kotzim that are nistabchu but not nergu. So that's the distinction that the Mishavrua seems to highlight when he explains what's the difference about Notzos and Sivkat and Zayin. Shein Zedoma L'Libon, Shein HaNotzos T'chuvin B'socho Kamo Hamayim V'Ofer El Onda Milmala. That the feathers are not enmeshed, embedded in the garment the way water or offer is. It's distinct, it's above, it's separate, and therefore not subject to kibbutz. Not subject to any potential liban consideration. Therefore, it's not a function of kepeda. It's not related to kepeda. This is not subject to any form of liban. There's no iser minar taliso, so even if you are makbid, because it is not at all enmeshed, embedded to the bag. So, if the author would have just stopped when he says so he might have thought that's simply a function of kepeda, but he then quotes Yerushalmi about the kotzim and the distinction between nergu versus nistabku. So that sounds like this point, that there's a difference between whether the material that you're removing is embedded and meshed in the baguette, or whether it is separate from it and more distinct. Lashon of Levush here as well explains Eina knows as the chuvim besocho kamo hamayim the offer. That's what the Mishnah Berura is quoting from. Okay, we also know the last time Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Dalid, who references a Sefer Zichronos. Sefer Zichronos was written by, anyone know?
Shmuel Abuhav.
Right, the Dvar Shmuel. Dvar Shmuel is probably most famous. Probably the most famous tribute of the Dvar Shmuel is the one about Karpef and the justification that we're making on Karpef in urban cities. Famous tribute that we discussed last year related to Damak and fibroids. The Marash Abu of an early Italian Achron. So he's a Mechaber of Sefer Zichronos. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Sefer Zichronos as follows. Magen Avraham Sifkat and Dalid. The Sefer Zichronos chashash le'iser ha-koreya av malacha, that he was concerned about the iser koreya in the context of removing feathers. Lefikach mishen estavku lo begad v'kotzim mafrisha mitzina u'mismahama kidei shelo yikru. And therefore, if your clothing gets caught on or there are thorns on your clothing, you can remove them mitzina in such a way that you're not going to rip them. So the way the Magen Avraham calls the Sefer Zichronos, worry about that Korea consideration that the Orthodox are not to worry about, that Yerushalmi already addresses and says why you don't have to worry about it. And in the Magen Avraham's presentation, it sounds like that's why the Sefer Tzrichonos was machmir on feathers. Now, that sounds a little bit strange, because what's the kosev, you understand what you're right about being korea, but what feathers are we talking about that you're going to rip the clothing if you're removing the feathers on Shabbos?
Worry about korea for the clothing?
I'm sorry?
Worry about korea for the clothing?
You say he's worried about korea on the feather? In the case of Nistavchu Begadav Bekotzim.
This is all correct.
Are there sharp parts of the feather, maybe?
Are there sharp parts of the feather? I don't know. Are feathers sharp? Well, I thought feathers are soft.
They poke out of the clothing.
Yeah.
That you're removing it because it starts to come out. So maybe when you're removing it, you'll rip the cloth that's holding it together.
It's worse than the thorns. Also, either way, this is correct.
Worse. What would be worse?
Either way, it's Karei Midorbanan, it's a Dabar She'en HaMiskavin,
it's
not a Kresha
problem. It's destructive, you're not
like Kilkel, yeah, okay.
But why isn't Mikalkel enough to just say that Karei is not an issue at all?
Not sure. Right, the way the Magen Avraham quotes it, he's quoting his thought. You can send the news to the Raisa. Chashash is a Korea on Malacha.
In general, is Korea Mikalko Mutter or Jerban?
Generally, it's Nisa Derabana.
Like, if you just find like a leaf on the ground, in half. Is that correct?
I don't think that's correct because of the substance.
Do you rip a piece of paper? Is that correct?
If you rip a piece of material, that's correct.
Is it the same thing as Velcro? Things over the hooks that go into like loops of material.
So that's the question. I mean, we're nickel on that on Korea Tofer. We have to talk about it when we get there. But
that's not
because of material. Yeah.
So do we have an answer to the question of the...
Well, I'm not done yet. But, go ahead.
No, I thought based on what Akiva was saying,
yeah.
the cases are just different. Meaning the Shibur is talking about when the feathers are on top, so then it's not nistabe.
Right.
And the Zechron is talking about when the feathers are sticking in vertically. Or like what Akiva was saying, when you have like a cloth thing coming out of your coat that people pull out.
Okay, so what I'm about to say is that I don't understand what the Magen Avraham quotes doesn't seem to correspond to the Sefer Tzrichonos that we have. So that's what I'm a little bit confused about, what the Magen Avraham is quoting. Did he have I assume he had the Sefer Tzrichonos in front of him, but what we have, I put it on the Mar Mekomos, it's cut and pasted. So the Sefer Tzrichonos outlined the three sheets of Rishonim that we saw about Menar, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam. And he writes, Nimsu in Kain Shloshe Pirusha Min Yanir. This is Zikaron Tess, page 249 in the new edition that I found in Osir Chachma. So he said, three sheets of Rishonim. According to Rov Poskim, we're talking about Nir Matal, like the Bali Tosfos. Lani Yastaiti Yodin Mayim, fine. According to Rashi Ozerua, it's from Avak. According to the Rambam, so he's not framing the Rambam, he's not zeroing in on the Makav Patash angle. By the way, I think Noam's reading the Shulchan Gibbon with them is correct in terms of the Shulchan Gibbon reading the Rambam like Rashi, but not for now. So Rambam, he said, Rambam Magen Mishnah, he zeroes in on the Lashon of Rambam in terms of the substance. L'harambam, Rabbi Magid, havi mikol davar shematziv al gabi yashachar. Anything that leaves an impression on the black. surface. So we're talking about a black baguette, you have something of a white color or another color that clearly doesn't belong on the black baguette. So removing that is cleaning the black baguette and the violation of kibbutz. Bim Kane, Mashakas of Rabba Lago, Bishem Orzerua, Shemutu, Lahasri Nosus, Menebeg of the Shabbos. So the Ramah's comment for the Orzerua that you're allowed to remove feathers. Imhem Levano, so the Rayam Zan, the Yerusha Aser. According to the Rambam, if they're white, it's going to be Aser. Sharet Sahav Lava Mikri. So the Sefer Zechonis is saying that, according to the Rambam, irrespective of the relationship or the level of embeddedness of the substance on the beged, anything that is white on a black beged or the like, to remove it is a violation of mechabes. Ukvar ra'isi misha dikte bazeh. Vinira derayla afrika devei kulam. Meaning, like all the sheep that we show him here, v'safi chatasu demistama harov makpidim. So he assumes that to remove a feather from a baguette is something that people are makpid on. Now, the Orzer Ruah sounded like people were not makpid on it, but he says something that people are makpid on. V'davar v'asma nakel l'kayim v'oshev v'altase. And it's not such a big deal to not remove a feather from a baguette on Shabbos. So we're talking about a potential chashash d'raisa. So better to be machmir for all shitos when it comes to chashash d'raisa, and not to remove a feather. So that presentation doesn't seem to correspond at all to what the Magen Avraham is quoting. And even the Mishabrua, when the Mishabrua quotes the Magen Avraham, he's quoting the Magen Avraham, quoting the Sefer Zechonos, kind of like what we have in the Sefer Zechonos. He says it in the Shari Siyan Tes, I'm Magen Avraham, Shevi Shem Tzav Zechonos, Shechashish Vizel Iser, Dechashva Kamo Niyar Min Ha'avak. I mean, that's an act of Minahir, like the other acts of Minahir. That's more of what it sounds like in the Sefer Zechonos, Lefaneinu. And moreover, the Maharsha Moshe just points out that the Sefer Zechonos is saying what he's saying to be choshish for Shitas HaRambam. To the extent that we're not choshish for the Rambam per se, or at least that formulation, the Rambam doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, then maybe there's less reason to be concerned about that as well. Okay, but if, yeah.
So Maharsha, we can do what the Rambam says.
L'maisa, Mishabrua says that the poskim don't accept the Sefer Zechonos, and even though the Magen Avraham quotes it, so L'maisa were makel on feathers. I'm just pointing out that what the Magen Avraham is quoting doesn't sound like it corresponds to the Sefer Zechonos lefaneinu. I'm just leaving that as a point to ponder. But again, the Mishabrua's understanding of the chiluk that's the governing chiluk over here is whether we're talking about something that is totally external to the baguette, that's not tachu, that's not embedded and matched nivla or anything, as opposed to afar, which even if it's not nivla, it's at least somewhat embedded or connected, more integrated into the baguette. There's a Me'iri. Miri in our Sugya Kufman Zayin has the following Yesh Omrim. He begins, he says, Minar Talisa Vishavis Chayiv Chatas. Pirshua Gdoli Rabbanim Minar Min Ofer, that's Rashi Varei Malavit. Fine. Yesh Omrim, Dafka Viminara Minatit Uminatinuf. That the Isra Minar Talisa, yes, it expands beyond Tal or Geshem, but it only applies to tit and tinuf as opposed to afar. It applies to tit, tinuf, not to afar. So what's the chiluk between tit, tinuf versus afar? So he goes on to say, below amru, ala betalas chadasha u'shechora, shanir mi'atinuf o'afar, nikr b'harbe. Ala v'ishan b'levan v'adumim mutter. And then it also has to be makbid. So he says shatinafo offer nikar b'harbe to contrast chadasha shkora with yishana and levana. But is he saying in this yesh omrim, which is not lalacha, but is he saying in this yesh omrim that tit and tinuf is more enmeshed or more balua in a baguette than afar? That we've been drawing the line and assuming lahalacha, even if we accept Rashi, the Isser will apply to Tal Geshem, it'll apply to Afar, Avak, anything of the like that is somewhat connected, even if it's not Nivla, into the bag, as opposed to feathers that are more disconnected with the bag and less Mu'urav. So is Amiri in the Siyah Shomer drawing the line somewhere else that Tinof is more Mu'urav than Afar? Is it that the appearance of Tinuf and Afar is the appearance of Tinuf and Tit more nicker than the appearance of Afar? And when he goes on, he says, "La'armel v'tas chadash shkol rishini v'tinufo afar nikava." I think that's going back to his first day and not to the Yeshomim, because the Yeshomim distinguishes between Afar and Tit. So, I'm not sure, just Mar Malcolm to note that maybe the Meiri is drawing the line somewhere else on the spectrum, at least in the Yeshomim, which again is not Lalacha, drawing the line somewhere else on the spectrum as far as where the Isser of Mina'er will apply. And just to note finally on this, the Aruch HaShulchan has a different Havana in this Ramah than the Mishnah Berurah did. And again, I think the Mishnah Berurah's presentation is kind of what we accept Lalacha. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Se'if Tes that the Ramah's Kula by Notzos is based on the following analysis, that Me'ikra Din, we assume like Tosas, not like Rashi, the Me'ikra Din, the Isser Menayer, Talisa only applies to Tal, to something with liquid, it doesn't apply to Afar at all. We're Machmir, Chashash Doraisa, so we're Machmir for Ashitas Rashi, that it applies even to Avak, Afar. However, we're not going to extend that Chumra to Notzos, because no one is Machbid on Notzos. So the kula of Notzos is simply a function of Kepeda, saying that even though we're Machmir Pshitas Rashi, but remember, we're only Machmir something that you're Machbid on, and people aren't Machbid on feathers. Aruch HaShulchan writes, Sharei Anuroin, Shikama Yosim in Notzos Shalakova, that there are plenty of people that walk out with feathers, not in their caps, but on their caps, and they don't. They're not makbid about it, but in a chanami, if a person was makbid on notzos, so then it would taka b'yasser. So Aruch HaShulchan assumes chumra, significant chumra, that the iser, in principle, we should be machmir subject to kepeda, we should be machmir even on notzos, or even on something that is not at all embedded and meshed in the baguette, but totally on the surface. Again, I think the Mishnah Berurah's approach is what's generally accepted lehalach. Okay. Now, we also ended off with a little bit of a tzarachian, or we wanted to better understand the Rashba's explanation as to why Kepeda plays such a prominent role in this sugya. So, again, trying to understand the role of Kepeda here. The Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, which we haven't yet quoted this year, Shvus Yitzchak, multi-volume series on Meleches Shabbos, written by Rabbi Yitzchak Drazi. This is volume Yud Dalid, with Haskamah from Chaim Kanievsky, Rabbi Yashiv, Shlomo Zalman, The earlier volumes were earlier. This is a later volume. So he quotes over here in Chelek Yudalid from the Piskei Riaz. Piskei Riaz in our Sugyuk in the 22nd Perek. Minara Taliso. So the Piskei Riaz writes as follows to explain within Shitas Rashi. HaMinara Taliso Mina Avak Shalo. Hareza Chai Chatas Mineshu Miskavin Lalavno. If you're Minar Min Avak, Malacha Deraisa, because you have Kavana Lalavi. Fuhusha Yabekav Chadash, Shachor, Makvid, fine. Aval Ima Yabekav Yashan, Oshe Adam Alavan, Oshe Eina Makvid Alav, Reza Mutter, why? She'ena Miskavin Lalavno. If you're not Makvid, then that indicates you don't have Kavana Lalibug. Ella, Ka'adam shemikaneach lichluch sha'al begadav. So it's like a person that is wiping off a dirt or a stain from his clothing. So the Einam Akbid is megala that Einam is kavin lalavno, but makes it like someone that's wiping off a stain from his clothing. And that's the din that we briefly encountered before. I'll get back to. Sivsayin tich abigdo mishashifam mibifnim la mucha milsa lizchazuid kemalabin. So says the Shvus Yitzchak, embellishing a little bit the Riaz, and maybe the Kavana is as follows. That when it comes, according to, if you accept Shitas Rashi, that the Isser Minar Talis applies to Avak also. So the base Isser, the most intuitive Isser that even Rashi will agree to, that all the Rishonim agree to, the Bali Tosis, those that argue in Rashi, is that it applies to Tal Geshem. Tal Geshem is more significantly Muvla into the Beget. So that's a more, potentially a more authentic type of Kibbutz. If you have Avak, so Avak is, let's say, Mu'urav in the Beged, it's not Muvla in the Beged, it's not absorbed, even if it's somewhat enmeshed. So that's not as apparent a Malacha. That's not a Malacha Gemura. That's more analogous to removing a stain, which in certain circumstances is Doma L'Liban, but may not be Liban Mamish. But if you're Makbid, so then that enhances or that increases the status of Malacha in this action. So it sounds like what he's saying is kind of along the lines of the Avnei Nezer that we saw a couple of shiurim ago in explaining the Riva as to why Kavana is operative in defining Shriya, the Riva in the context of Holech HaTzavar B'mayim and the like, which sounded like a kind of melechas machsheves l'chumra, where an action may objectively not necessarily be a melacha, but if you have kavanah l'shem melacha, so that melechas machsheves may make it into a melacha. So maybe it's something along those lines. And that's how he's explaining the Riaz. Yeah.
I think Yossi Rebak pointed out and said that only works for Rashi.
It's only works for Rashi, correct.
For the Rashi.
Right, so now we're only in Rashi, that's what I'm saying, the Rivaz, and I get to the Rashi, right? I'm laying the groundwork. The Riaz is saying within Rashi, Minara Talisim and Avak Shalom. Right.
But then it's Yotzei HaChomra, because for Tal, then, he'd say it doesn't matter about Makbid. Meaning, if you're holding like a Rashi.
If you say it like that, so you're saying, by Tal may not... okay, I hear. Mm-hmm. So then we come back to the Rashi. Again, Lashon HaRashi was... Haminar Taliso, Hevish Rashi, Avak, Betosis Hikshu, Rabbeinu Chananel Minatal. Okay, so quotes Rashi, quotes Tosas Kasha, and quotes Tosas Rabbeinu Chananel, Shita that we're talking about Minatal. And then he says, Ulamanda Kapid Havib Sikreshe, Ulamanda Lo Kapid Laka Eladarishe Miskavi. If you're Makbid, it's a Sikreshe, if you're not Makbid, it's only Darishe Miskavi. She'eino kiba skamor. So first of all, Mereshes Moshe points this out. If you read the Rashi straight, it sounds like this psikresha comment may only be explaining Tosfos and Rashi. He starts out quoting Rashi, quotes Tosfos, it's called like Rashi, and then he explains it's Hezbrav Sekreshi. So it could be that the Rashba would say, according to Rashi, have a different Hezbrav for the role of Makbid, and maybe he agreed to what we said till now. But he's coming to explain, according to Tosfos, so we're talking about Dafka Nior Min Hatal. So what's this calculus of Sekreshi? So the Yeshua's Yaakov is bothered by this. Sif Katan Beis. So he asks as follows. Quotes to Rashba. Hinei dvar malalo enam uvanim. My enam sekresha. What does sekresha have to do with anything? Hamachavim lanar tal. Yav kavana to shake off the tal. The kapit alav shelo yia hatal ala begad. What does that mean, sekresha? The gam mashikasa kisheino makbid love sekresha. And if you're not makbid, it's not ipsikreshe. Lam lam ipsikreshe, kishena makbid. It's the same action. Whether you're makbid or not, you're doing the same exact thing. So what does it mean it's ipsikreshe if you're makbid, and it's not ipsikreshe if you're not makbid? So he says, the MS, masha meser atal min abeged, lo chashim mechabes, elisha meser davar sha'ala beged. Umali meser min ha'afar, a meser atal. So at first glance, why would you distinguish at all between different substances, between afar and tal? El shavir adavar, sh'al yidei haneir, hatal miskabe, al yidei haneir, hatal miskabe sabeged, be'es ni'uro, Ma'atal, Meseratal, Sheetzlo, Vavikiva. So he says, what's going on? When you're Minayar, Hatalus Minatal, there are two stages or two things going on. You're shaking off the tal, but at the same time, you're being Mechabis the Beget through that action of shaking off the tal that also has the effect of cleaning the Beget. But your kavana, you have the tal in your beggar, that's bothering you. So you want to get rid of the tal. It happens to be that mimela is also cleaning the beggar to some extent, but that's not your inyan. All you want to do is remove the tal. So the fact that it's cleaning the beggar, that's the darshan of iskabe. But it's a psikreshe denichale. So when you're minar, the tal is minatal, and you're makbid about it, so what's going on? So you're shaking out the tal, and you're being mechabes the beged. Now, mechabes the beged isn't your intent per se, but then maybe if segreshe denichale. Aval be'eno makbid alasaras kol atal min abeged, imkein, Ein zakibus, raksha minara tal, masira mina beged, the ein zakibus gomer. The after psikreshe shimikal mokam a beged miskades, came into lo nichole, the gam ein zakibus gomer, have come up with darishin sarkle gufa, psikreshe with darishin miskavein, dil kuliyama, lo amrina. So he says that if your kavana, if your makbid, so that indicates that your kavana is to get rid of all the tal, so then the mela, there are two things going on. You're removing the tal, but you also be mechavis the beged, and that being mechavis the beged is a psikreshe denichale in essence. But if you're just removing, you're not so makbid, so you're just removing part of the tal, that's all you care about, and you don't care about the effect on the beged, so the fact that it's mechavis the beged is a psikreshe de lo nichale. So does that mean to say that the Rashba is going like the Aruch here, that there's a difference between that we're matir lechachila of psikreshe de lo nichale, even if you accept his analysis? So in the Shmos Yitzchak, he said, he says, maybe not. Maybe what the Shus Yaakov is saying is that this is better than the standard psikreshe delo nichalei. In a standard situation, delo nichalei, most of Rishonim assume, not like the Aruch, we argue on the Aruch, that that's still going to be us. But in a standard situation, delo nichalei, what's going on is that the malacha that's going on is nira la'ayim. Your megara kisei mita v'safsal, it's obsegresh that it's going to make a charetz, so it's clear that there's a malacha going on by dragging the kisei mita v'safsal, and you're making a charetz. But over here, the malacha that's going on is not as nira la'ayin, because this isn't the standard form of kibbutz. And maybe that's what the Rashba means when he concludes she'eno kibbutz gamur. So maybe even if you don't accept the Aruch in general, maybe here you would, because this is like a super psikreshe delo nichale of sorts. Yes.
Well, just why would it be a psikreshe delo nichale if you separate the beer from the kibbutz?
Delo nichale is lo ichbasle, but yeah.
No, but why would it be lo ichbasle? Just because he's not makbid vis-a-vis the near,
right?
So that wouldn't affect whether or not he would want his beged to become a kubas as a side effect.
We're saying that if he's not makbid, so he couldn't care less one way or another. So that's a psikreshe lo ichbasle.
I mean, not makbid means that.
I have no problem walking outside in the street or putting on a garment like this any day of the week.
And therefore, there's no. I wouldn't have any positive association with
it. Right. It doesn't make a difference between one way or another. Say great
luck, Leslie. Should we go on with nicer shots, though?
So that's what we said last time. The poskim assumed we saw Svasemis, we saw Rid, that the standard is the week, not a Shabbos.
But that's for determining
what
Kepeda is. Right. I feel like that wouldn't be the same for
determining what's Nikolai. No, I'm not sure. Our starting point here is Kepeda, and then what's the effect of whether you're Makbid or not? I'm not sure that that'll make a difference. Yeah.
And just to get the Shitas down, the Shlus Yitzchak Rebbe is using to explain Rashi, and the Yeshuas Yaakov is also utilized Agam by the Shlus Yitzchak to explain the Rashba.
No, the Yeshuas Yaakov is explaining the Rashba. I'm quoting the Yeshuas Yitzchak to explain the Yeshuas Yaakov. Meaning, what emerges, what you take away from the Yeshuas Yaakov is basically saying that the Rashba has to be holding like the Aruch. So the Yeshuas Yitzchak is saying, not necessarily. Maybe even if you dispute the Aruch in general, maybe this is different.
So now we have a Mahalach, both in Rashi and in the process to explain Kepeda, is what?
Correct. That's where we are. And now we're ready to start the share. Didn't think it would take that long, okay? But we did get a late start, so it's not all my fault. Okay, let's move on now. We had already twice alluded to, the Gemara on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara at the very bottom, or almost the very bottom, has the name of Rav Kahana, 7-8 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Kahana, Tich al gabe bigda mechas v'chom mibifnim, v'ein mechas v'chom mibachutz. If you have tit on your baguette, you can rub it mibifnim. Mibifnim means from the inside of the baguette, meaning the tit's on the outside of the baguette, so you can rub it from the inside of the baguette. But not on the outside, not on the surface where the tit is. What's the difference, says Rashi? Mechaschachom mishafshifom mibifnim, delo mucha milsa lischazuye kemalabein. It doesn't look like malabein. So we already saw this Rashi when we noted Rabbi Akiva Eger's Ha'ara, Kuf Mezayim Bars Kuf Al V'Sharet Tzion Yishuv, whether you need water, whether the stain is totally removed, or if there is a residual piece of the stain that is left. And according to the other Rishonim, you don't even have to come out to that, because the other Rishonim say there's never Liban without water. Paradoxically, Shita L'Ran quotes the Ra'ah, this isn't an issue of Liban, it's an issue of Uvdin D'Chol. What's Uvdin D'Chol? We'll try to talk about that more later. Maybe, I think when we get to Tocheg, we'll spend a shiur on Uftin Bechol. So put that aside for now. And this distinction is quoted that we just saw in Se'if Sai. Okay. Now, let's move on to Kuf Mem Vav and Beis. The Mishnah tells us a series of halachos, two of which are relevant to us right now. Kuf Mem Vav and Beis. Misha Nashu Kela B'Derech B'Mayim. If a person's clothing gets wet, Mahalik Behen V'Eino Choshesh. He can continue walking in his wet clothing. V'Eino Choshesh. Eino Choshesh for what? Hold on to that thought for a second. Higir L'Chasar Chitzona. Once he gets to safe territory where he can take his clothing off, Shokhan B'Chama. He can spread them out in the sun. Avalo K'Neged Am. But he can't spread them out in public. So two halachas here. Number one, if your clothing gets wet, you can continue walking. Number two, when you get home, you can spread it out to dry, but not keneged ha'am. So in the second halacha of the Mishnah, Rashi writes, of a lo keneged ha'am, shiach shadu shakavsa. People may be choshed that you laundered your clothing. Meaning, as far as Malach is concerned, there's no issur of letting the clothing out to dry. And the Mishnah says you can't do that connected to Am because that's a problem in Marisai. The Gemara then tells us on the bottom here that that's a machlokes. Is Marisai an usur b'chayder chardam as well? And we assume, Malacha, that kamach and sh'asur chamene Marisayin afil b'chayder chardam asur. So the Mishnah's distinction between in private and public is not la'alacha. La'alacha, we assume whatever is asur mishamar sayin in public is asur mishamar sayin in private as well. And therefore, there would be an issur of spreading the clothing out to dry even at home. We'll come back to that momentarily. Now let's go back to the previous bit of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that if you're walking and your clothing gets wet, eino choshesh, what are you eino choshesh for? Rashi here is silent. However, Rashi in Beitza, Lamed Heyam in Beis, Divrei Maskil Mahalich, Rashi, Lamed Heyam in Beitza, Divrei Maskil Mahalich, says, same thing. We're not choshesh, that people will be choshed that you laundered your clothing. So you're caught in a downpour on Shabbos, you're walking home, you don't have to worry that people are going to think that you put your clothing in the washing machine, and that's why it's wet. The Rambam has otherwise. The Rambam in Perek Kaf Beis Halacha Kaf, Rambam Kaf Beis Kaf, Misha Noshu Kelu B'Mayim Mahalik Ben Venu Choshishin Shema Yiskot. Different concern. You're not choshe that you're going to come to squeeze it out. Maybe you should worry that if you're walking with wet clothing, you may come to squeeze out the wet clothing. And then, v'yasalal l'shalchan afil v'sof beso, zere shema yomer harowe hareze hibes ksusa v'shabes v'shotcha liyabsha, chamach v'shazuch chamim neymar sayin afil v'chadir chadarim aser. So Evan agrees that the concern about putting out your clothing to dry is a marasayin consideration. Machlokes Rashi Rambam, the previous in the Mishnah, that you're allowed to walk with wet clothing on Shabbos, is that the concern that we're the warning, is that one of Marisayin as well, Rashi, or is that one of Shema Yisrot, Rambam? Says the Mechaber, Shin Aleph Sif Mem Hei. Mi Shanashu Kelu B'mayim, Holech B'em Einu Chosh, Shema Yavu, L'Yishchid L'Hashin Rambam, Lo Yishchitem, Yishtichem, L'Nagva, B'nei Marisayin, Shaliach Shadu Shikisam Shabbos, Aviv L'Chadir Chadarim, fine. Says the Mishnah Berura, Kusam of Beis, Holot Behem, Shalo Asur Ala Adam, of the God Mishalo Vishasan. So why are we talking Nacho Sheish, Shema Yiskot? Why aren't there are plenty of applications that we've encountered where midah rabban you can't do something because Shema Yisrot. So why do we say that here? The Mishnah Berurah says we don't aser wearing the clothing that you're wearing. And then he says, Mistaber, the Haimadavka main of the Gavmachir. But that's if you can readily change. Meaning, all things being equal, it sounds like we talk a shuv in Choshei Chema Yisro. We're not going to tell you to undress in the middle of the street because your clothing's wet. But if you're in a place where you have a change of clothing and you can easily change, that would be better. Says the Sharatzion Reish Gimel, Dilav Hafi, Halom Avur Lekaman, Dvar Mashriyim Mimayin Rasul Tatalam. The Mishnah Atzmein Rai Lahakel, the Mairi Nami Kishuv the Darif Ein Lochem Lobosh. Inami the Mairi Kishuv her Lobosh Behen. Kedemashim Pashi Talashon, Dilav Hafi Avi Leila Omer, Lovsham Vein Okoshe. The Sharatzion makes 2 points. Number one, the heft of the reason we're not Choshe Shema Yischod is that you're baderech. You're walking down the street and you can't easily take your clothing off. Inami, says the Shaar Tzion, the heft is only if you're already wearing them. But you can't lechachila, we don't allow you, we will be gozer not to wear wet clothing lechachila. So, possible nafgamina between the two derusim, but that's what Mishabru says. Either the reason we're not kosher Shema Yisrael, meaning all things being equal, we should have been concerned Shema Yisrael according to Rambam. Either it's because you're outside and there's no easy way of taking your clothing off, or even if you're home, we're not gozer to have to take the clothing that you're wearing off, but you should in lechachila put on clothing that is wet, because at the end of the day, there still is a concern of Shema Yisro. The person talk about that if your socks get wet. So the general consensus is you can keep on walking in your wet socks, even though there's perhaps more of a concern that you'll come to skeet because you're stepping on them and maybe every step you're so okay. I saw in Rabbi Karp, because there's a mice of the Shinover who once walked into a puddle on Shabbos and stayed there till the end of Shabbos. But he acknowledges that that's probably a midas chasidus, and the Ikara then we assume, as emerges from this Mishnah, that you don't have to be kosher for that. Yeah.
So how does like Badarach, is that based on like a covenant of prios because it's a darabana?
Yeah, that sounds like we're talking about where did Chazal see fit to be gozer, right? All these things are gzeres darabana and atusita. So Chazal didn't fit to be gozer b'chia gavna.
I don't think we would apply that even to like socks or something, which is like. Theoretically, it doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be what?
The biggest, like, cover bias issue or whatever. Like, it's very different. I mean, it's a big difference between, like, if you're a baderech and not being able to wear your clothes.
So we're not going to say that it doesn't apply to your jacket, it only applies to your shirt, it doesn't apply to your shirt, it only applies to your sister, it doesn't apply to your sister. Logos are b'chiyah gavna.
How does Rabbeinu say the two? I didn't understand the 2 days in the Shaar Tzion. It sounded like they're saying the same thing.
No.
It sounds like you're just your baderech and you're wearing the clothes. Inami, you're wearing the clothes. What's the difference?
Inami, you're already wearing the clothes. We don't tell you to take it off. Meaning, let's say, nafgamina is you get home. You have to take the clothing off once you get home.
So in both answers, you're wearing the clothes. Question is just, are you afraid of when you get home?
That would be nafgamina, right? Okay. Says the Mishnah Brura Kuf Samach Zayin, Einu Chai Vosalkan. So the Mechaber continues, V'lo Asur Elo L'Shokham B'Shabbos. So you can't spread them out to dry on Shabbos. Aval Im Shatach Me'er Shabbos Kelim M'Chubasa. But if you put them out to dry Er Shabbos, Einu Chai Vosalkan B'Shabbos, you can leave them there. Says the Mishnah Brura Kuf Samach Zayin, Afilu Heim Shtuchin Negra Ami, but if it's in public, Batam, Degra Chashad, Eno Elekin Shashokam Shabbos. Thus, you issue Glyam Lachashta, the Kibs on a Yom. Then Kibs on Yasma, Layashokam Yasma. Kilo Yom, Shinishimayim, Shaino Kal Yodim Bezet. So, if you spread out for Shabbos, so then that concern before Shabbos, that concern of Marzayin doesn't really apply. Then the Mechaber writes in Memvav, if you have clothing that gets wet, you're not allowed to dry them in front of the fire. Maybe there's a concern of Mavasho. Maybe there's a concern of Malabin. Says the Mishabru Kavayan, Samach Le'esh, V'huadin, De'asir La'anichat Ala Tanur, B'magam She'az Le'edis Ben, you can't put it on the oven either. V'ya'olam Nechshalam Ezebel V'naseinu Rabim, Shavanichat B'chorif B'gadim Lachim Al Tanur Cham L'nagvan, the people put wet clothing on the heater, on the radiator, to dry them. V'b'magam She'en Yatz Le'edis Ben, Mutu L'nagvan. If it's not going to reach out to Ledesbo, so there's no concern of Bishol. V'hu shelo yanicha derech shticha. As long as you don't put them in a way that's the normal way for hanging it out to dry. De'im shokam kedarka masa b'chol gavdi v'chanal b'sifakodem. So if you're spreading it out to dry in the normal fashion that you spread something out to dry, so that's the isser of sif memhei, that's the isser of the Mishnah of nisha ha'olach b'derech, and his clothing gets wet. The Mishnah Kufim Bav. So the post can talk about this is a kula also. The Mishnah Brura says it says a chumra that if you're going to spread it out in the normal way spreading it out, then it's always going to be usur. But the post can talk about if you spread something out not in the normal way, not in the normal place, then that could be mutter. So normally you would put your clothing out to dry on a clothesline, in the shower, in the laundry room. So that's what this isur applies. But to hang it up in a regular closet, hang it up in a place where you normally hang clothing, not where you normally hang it to dry, that should be mutter, they hang it on the back of a chair. That's what Shmir Shabbos writes, Paratesvav Siflamichas, Paratesvav Siflamichas, that you're allowed to hang it in the normal place where it normally goes. So you could hang up your jacket in the closet. You can't hang it in the laundry room. You can't hang it in a place where you dafka hang wet clothing. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman there in Funa Kuf Kuf Dalid, you could hang it on a hanger because you're not putting it on a hanger to let it dry, you're putting it on a hanger because that's how you normally treat a beged. And then Shmir Shabbos says, a raincoat. So a raincoat, you never dry. You don't normally dry raincoats when they get wet. That's what they're for. So Shmir Shabbos writes that if you have a raincoat that gets wet, you can hang it up normally on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry because no one's going to think that you put in the laundry. It's not something that you ever put in the laundry. And everyone knows, he goes from Shlomo Zalman, Funo Kufkos, and everyone knows that it got wet in the rain. That's why you have a raincoat, and that's why the raincoat is wet. Yeah?
Before, you said that it's okay to hang up any dry clothes because people won't think that you washed it?
First I said you can hang up any wet clothing in a location that you would normally hang the clothing, meaning if you normally put your jacket in the closet, you can hang up your jacket in the closet even if it's wet. But not on a clothesline, not in the laundry room, not in the bathroom where you normally hang wet clothing. And then we quoted from Shmir Shabbos, from Zalman, that something like a raincoat could be mutter even in the laundry room because no one would ever think that you wash your raincoat on Shabbos because that's not something that is normally subject to kibbutz. Rabbi Ribiak quotes further, this is in footnote 113, that this is also like what the Mishnah Brura writes in Sifkatan Kuf Samach Dalid, that if you have a diaper that always gets dirty, you can hang out a diaper to dry. This is before the age of disposable diapers, because no one's going to think that you were washing the diaper on Shabbos. Everyone knows that you're putting out the diaper to dry. because it got wet. And he quotes from Dayan Posen from the neighborhood here that in his Shabbos Sefer, that if you have clothing that you never put in the washing machine, it's only cleaned through dry cleaning. So that also wouldn't be subject to these restrictions, because no one would think that you put your suit in the washing machine, because you never put your suit in the washing machine. And he said he asked around, and it sounds like most Shabbos clothing that people wear, you would never put in the washing machine. They always go to the dry cleaners. So something that you would never, maybe not you, some.
We don't have to be concerned if there's like one person who's different.
Like,
you go out and check the standards.
I know. I just saw a couple chuckles in the room here. I don't know if not everyone uses the dry cleaners anymore. That's what it sounds like. If it's something that, generally speaking, no one, meaning if you want to ruin your suit and put it in the wash, that's fine with.
Shirts?
No, shirts, you put in the wash.
Some people only dry clean shirts also.
Yeah, but generally speaking, shirts are, I think, normally enough washed. I think it wouldn't apply to a shirt, but it would apply to a suit or something of the sort.
Can I lay a shirt on the ground?
Can you lay a shirt on the ground?
Can I lay that on the floor?
You mean a wet shirt?
Yeah.
Probably not. Meaning, if it's in a place that you would put out something to dry.
Just like on the floor of my room or something. I wouldn't put it to dry if I just went to the laundry.
If it's not a place that you would put it to dry, if it's not derech shticha, then it should be mutter.
Wouldn't that be derech shticha? I mean, if I don't want it to get moldy, it's all wet.
Right.
So what do I do?
So you put on a hanger in the closet. Oh. Right, we're saying two things. Number one, we're quoting that it sounds like the consensus of the poskim is that the issue is only if you put it in a place that you would normally put hand something to dry. So on a shower rack, in a laundry room, on a clothesline, but not in a regular closet. And there's certain things that are never generally laundered or washed where it would be much better to hang them anywhere. Now the Rivia writes that he heard from Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv was machmir on these things, even things that you send to the dry cleaners, that it would be subject to the sisser. But I think the general minhag, is to be mekel. And that's what Rabbi Willie pointed out, also the minhag is to be mekel. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So, in terms of the din of rab, I mean, they call makom shasafam shemayis ayin mechadech adarim aser. So the reason why that wouldn't apply to hanging up a shirt in a closet, I mean, like, why is that not just subsumed under the din of chadech adarim?
Why is that not subsumed under the din of chadrei chadarim?
That's because if I had a closet in a shus rabim, then also people would not realize that it was virtuous.
So Rabbi Rivia quotes as Ramosha of the Tshuva, something totally different. Ramosha Tshuva, Chelik Aleph Siman Sadivav, someone gave Ramosha Musar for being driven to Shul Friday night after Lichbench. Famous Tshuva. So in that Tshuva, Ramosha explains why there's really no problem doing it, but you're probably right, better to stop. But in that Tshuva, he writes that the Isser of Maris Ayin is only in something where Rov Pa'amim, you do it Ba'ofen Asser. So if you have an action that most times or many times you do that action Ba'ofen Asser, then there's Maris Ayin. So you can parse that in terms of where you draw lines. But that may be relevant here, that if most situations when you have most of your Shabbos clothing, you would never be kobes, so there's less, the less of the marasai in consideration, the chiyagata. So we're going to limit it to something that is normally wandered and not something that's normally not wandered. What time is it now? So I really wanted to talk about baby wipes today. We are falling behind. So can we do this? Can we have a shiur tomorrow on Zoom? I won't be in yeshiva. Probably do it in maybe 45 minutes. Yeah, Matan.
The shachar is giving air to it tomorrow.
At what time?
3 o'clock.
What time will be done?
I don't know. I've been air to 3
o'clock. Okay. Can we go on now for another half hour? Or should we try to do it?
It takes less than an hour to walk
around. Yeah,
I'm not assuming this Hawaii area, but it takes us less than an hour to walk around the whole thing. I don't know how slow it'll be going.
Okay. So you think 5 o'clock would be safe?
I can't imagine that there'll be a lot of...
It's fine. Am I the only one in Tokyo walk on my side?
Yeah. Ariel is. I'd probably be going outside.
Okay, but I imagine it's not going to be more than 2 hours anyway. Fine, so can we do that? We'll have on Zoom tomorrow, 5 o'clock, we'll do baby wipes. Then Sunday, Mirtz Hashem, we'll talk about contact lens solution and chaliva and the nursing. And then we'll go on Mirtz Hashem Wednesday to Zora, and then it's over. Okay? I expect it will probably be 3 weeks on Boer, maybe 2.5, but we're going to have to break for Bechina at some point, probably late November. So we'll see, either, depending on where we get to, either after Boer, after Tochein, we'll have a week for Chazar and then the first Bechina.
We'll be getting more marakomas about Boer?
More than what I gave you?
Yeah.
Are you ready to finish what I gave you?
Sorry, well, I've already started it.
Did you finish it?
Not yet.
Okay. There may be a few more, but that's, I think that's the bulk of it. Okay, well, you'll tell me if we end up being too far off where you're holding on the shiurim, then we'll have to add shiurim. Okay? Good.
Thank you very much, Rami.
Okay. Gabe, I don't think it's stopping.
Oh, it's just low battery.